Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. A Navy ship is on fire in San Diego. We have the story.
Coronavirus cases are surging in several states. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. Hand washing and masks are among the fall guidelines for Kansas schools. That story is coming up.
Fire crews respond to a weekend explosion and barn fire in Butler County. I'm Dave Wilson.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Ann Holiday. An area of scattered showers and a few embedded thunderstorms will track across southern Kansas this morning. Then we clear off and heat up this afternoon. Our complete forecast here in just a few minutes.
U.S. Navy personnel are working to control a fire on board a large vessel in port in San Diego. Fox's Jackie Ibanez has more.
21 people have been injured, including 17 sailors, after an explosion on board a ship at the naval base in San Diego. The USS Bonhomme Richard is currently ablaze and has been for hours now. Officials say everyone injured sustained only minor injuries and are expected to fully recover.
Fire began Sunday morning on the ship, an amphibious assault carrier designed to transport aircraft and smaller vessels and some 1,700 Marines.
Coronavirus cases are surging in states such as Florida, Texas, and Arizona. Fox's Aisha Hazni with the latest.
Florida, the southern half of the country, where that state has just shattered a national record for the number of daily, a single day increase in cases, the largest increase, 15,300 cases in just one day, ending a record-breaking week for deaths as well, with an average of 73 people dying every single day. Testing there has doubled over the last month, and despite the spikes in positive cases, Governor DeSantis believes schools can reopen next month.
Florida has recorded more than 269,000 cases of coronavirus and more than 4,200 deaths.
Draft safety guidelines for school this fall from the Kansas State Department of Education have been released.
The guidelines say students, teachers, and staff should wear masks, but that students up to fifth or sixth grade shouldn't be required to wear them unless local officials mandate it. The Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle are reporting that draft guidelines about how to reopen schools amid the COVID-19 pandemic were shared with superintendents this past week. The guidelines say everyone should wash their hands when arriving at school and every hour afterward. Space should be made in classrooms to allow social distancing, and locker use is discouraged. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Several fire departments in Butler County battled an explosion and fire in a detached garage Saturday night.
Crews received notice of the explosion in the 4600 block of Southwest Santa Fe Lake Road just after 9 p.m. Saturday. When firefighters arrived, they found a detached garage that was fully engulfed in flames. Fire Captain Mike Rose says around 30 firefighters from the Benton, Augusta, and Towanda fire departments were all called to the scene. At least one person was taken to the hospital and was treated for third-degree burns. Dave Wilson, KNSS News.
Wichita police have arrested the father of a 2-year-old boy who drowned last Tuesday. 44-year-old William Kabutu is being held on suspicion of felony murder and two counts of aggravated child endangerment. Police say Kabutu was intoxicated when he took the boy and his 4-year-old brother to a closed neighborhood pool. He allowed the boys to squeeze through a fence, but he was too large to get through. The 2-year-old boy drowned. Case has been presented to the Sedgwick County District Attorney.
The president's commutation of longtime friend Roger Stone's prison sentence has drawn criticism from Democrats and others.
President Trump wiped away Stone's 40-month sentence, saying that Stone was treated unfairly during the Mueller investigation into Russian collusion. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff said on ABC's This Week that Stone engaged in obstruction and intimidation.
And the president, through this commutation, is basically saying, if you lie for me, if you cover up for me, if you have my back, then I will make sure that you get a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Robert Mueller spoke out in a Washington Post op-ed defending his probe, saying while Stone may not spend a day in jail, his conviction still stands. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
We'll be taking a look at a professional franchise making a name change and the fate of football this fall. That's coming up in sports.
Sedgwick County Commissioner Michael O'Donnell tells KNSS News the county's 2021 budget is pretty stable. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 7:08. 8 minutes past 7 o'clock and 75 degrees. Sedgwick County Commissioner Michael O'Donnell tells KNSS News the county's 2021 budget is in pretty stable shape.
We might have to take a little bit of money out of savings, our rainy day accounts for a few things. But for the most part, we have a flat budget. We're going to have some strategic cuts. But I think this coronavirus pandemic is going to give local governments an ability to reevaluate everything that we do.
Michael O'Donnell was a guest on the John Whitman Show Sunday night at 7 on KNSS.
Gasoline prices going up again over the last couple of weeks, just a couple of cents, with the nationwide average now sitting at $2.24 a gallon. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg explains why the price rebounded following the steep declines during the coronavirus-related shutdowns has now slowed.
At first, the jumps had to do with bottoming out of crude oil and pushing gasoline prices back up, a long crawl. Now we have crude oil prices up some, contributed also by higher ethanol prices, and ethanol must be blended into gasoline. But demand for gasoline is extremely low.
The local market with the lowest price per gallon right now, Houston at $1.79, San Francisco with the highest average at $3.20 a gallon.
Authorities say two people were arrested after fleeing from officers in northeast Kansas and crashing into a cow and a fence. Jackson County Sheriff Tim Morse says 18-year-old Sky Joe Coversup of Mayeda and 21-year-old Santana K. Noriega of Holton were both arrested after the chase Saturday afternoon. Morse says the cow that they hit with their car suffered two broken legs and was expected to be euthanized. The chase began after a Jackson County Sheriff's deputy pulled over the Chevrolet Malibu that Coversup was driving. Coversup fled southeast into neighboring Jefferson County before crashing. KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
And as we take a look at the traffic update here on the Monday morning commute, we did just have the call of a fire alarm. So they were sending fire trucks to the La Crosse Apartments up there at 37th North and Woodlawn. Appears that may be a false alarm, so you might see those trucks calling that off at the moment. We do have a little bit of higher traffic volume right now. We are seeing a little bit of a slowdown on the Kansas, on the I-135 on the canal route between about Central and 13th. Might see a little bit of slower traffic there. Traffic update, Steve and Ted, KNSS.
Yeah, a little rain flirting with Sedgwick County. KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast now with Kansas State meteorologist Ronell Williams. Good morning, Ronell.
Yeah, Steve, you said flirting with Sedgwick County. I was going to say it's kind of teasing us.
Teasing. All right, that's good.
Yeah, but we could definitely use some of that rain. At least some of our neighbors are getting it because that's the kind of rain that we need across much of the area. You know, it's pretty steady. It's fairly light, not dealing with any hazardous weather. But that did stem from some strong and severe storms that occurred overnight way out west. So I think this is going to be the trend over the next few days where we'll see some storms off to the west and then a few moving through during the overnight hours into the early mornings. And then we'll kind of dry out and just heat right back up after that. That's what's going to happen over the next few days. So when it comes to that forecast, we've got partly cloudy skies today, anywhere between a 10 to 20% chance still for maybe a couple of raindrops just due to close proximity since that rain just down to our south. 94 degrees, staying mainly dry throughout the bulk of our Monday with a southeast breeze at 10 to 20 miles an hour. And then another 20% chance of a shower storm later on tonight. That will originate off to the west. We may get a little bit of rain ourselves as things track west to east. Southeast winds still on the breezy side at 10 to 20 well after dark with a low of 74. Going to be another warm morning, even if we are able to get a couple of raindrops out there. Partly cloudy skies for your Tuesday. High of 98. Slim chance of a shower, storm, but we will have to make sure that we stay weather aware because by the time we get into the evening hours, an isolated severe storm will be a possibility as a cold front sits over the area, and that's what's going to spark that chance. It's not really going to cool us down all that much. We'll go from 98 Tuesday down to 95 Wednesday, and then right back up to 96 Thursday. Triple digits looking likely by the end of this week. Right now, we're at 75 degrees. Sky is still mostly cloudy, but we were actually able to get a pretty nice sunrise not that long ago. Dew point of 62, making it another muggy one out there.
So if you're headed north or northeast out of Wichita toward the Kansas City area or up towards Salina, it's not much to see. I mean, there's no rain involved. But if you head south, completely different story. Plenty of rain down toward Oklahoma, huh?
Yeah, right along that state line. So at least everybody knows where to go to get some of those raindrops.
Drive down there just to get rained on. It sounds like a good idea. All right, thank you, Ronell. The KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. Now, 7:12, 12 minutes past 7 o'clock. Steve and Ted here on KNSS. And if you've been listening this morning, we have a story on about draft safety guidelines from the Kansas Department of Education. They're trying to try to get the students back in school. And what we see so far is they're asking teachers and staff to wear masks, but that students up to fifth or sixth grade shouldn't be required to wear them unless local officials mandate it. The Kansas City Star, Wichita Eagle working together, reporting that these draft guidelines to open and reopen schools amid the virus, the pandemic, were shared with the superintendents last week. So the superintendents will be looking at them, school boards and so forth, and the teachers. The guidelines say, everyone should wash their hands when arriving at school and every hour afterward. Well, there you go. That might help.
It's not a bad idea.
Space should be made in classrooms to allow social distancing, and locker use is discouraged. And if you're in junior high or high school, the locker is the main place where you store all your stuff, you know, including your lunch, your books, everything. So I don't know how they're going to handle the lockers, but yeah, they've got some guidelines, and they're very hopeful. Of course, the president, President Trump's been pushing for getting the schools open, and we'd sure like to do it if we can do it safely, I think. Obviously, some of these younger kids, they don't think are at very, very high risk for this.
Well, then why are they having to wash their hands?
Well, they say the younger ones don't even have to wear a mask, Ted.
I know, but you said they're going to have washing hands mandatory once an hour. Yeah, well, if it's just so bad for kids not to catch it, then why do they have to wash their hands?
Could be carrying around in their hands. And not get it.
Well, then why aren't they wearing masks?
Well, don't ask me.
I don't understand the disparity.
Don't ask me. Ask the state.
Well, I'm just saying.
I can't explain this crap. Come on. They're just doing their best trying to get this thing open. But washing the hands, you can get kids to do that. Heck, get up and go. If they've got facilities, some of the classrooms have them. But some, you know, when I was looking at the supplies that the kids have to have every year, for the past several years, my grandkids have had to have some hand sanitizer. That was part of the required equipment to take to school. So, and tissues and all that stuff for the colds and the viruses will be going around. All right, 7:14, Steve and Ted. Let's see what. Shelly and I said earlier we had to take out pizza Saturday night. You said, did you have some takeout as well, Ted?
Yeah, we did Emperor's Japanese Grill with Mom last night.
Really?
Yeah.
But that was good.
Tasty.
Hey, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. We had Shelly and I sheltered at home over the weekend. But I got out and mowed the grass Saturday morning. It was humid. Woo! I was out 10 o'clock in the morning, and I still really almost couldn't take it. At any rate, we also, of course, we sequestered at home. Shelly and I watched some movies, if we can find them. We found one that Shelly had been wanting to watch, and I didn't have much interest in it, but we went ahead. I think Netflix or somebody had it. Ford versus Ferrari. Have you heard of this one,
Oh, yeah.
Ted? Did you see it?
I did not see it.
It's basically Ford wanting to get into racing in Le Mans over.
That was one of the last big movies that came out before the shutdown.
Before the shutdown, it's a good tale. I mean, Matt Damon, every time I see Matt Damon, I'm just a little more impressed with him. I just think he's a pretty doggone good actor. He stars as he's playing Carroll Shelby. Of course, you remember the Shelby Mustang and GT Mustang and whatnot. And, you know, they've got Henry Ford involved in this thing and race car drivers. And I'm not a big race car movie fan, but this one keeps you because there's more than just, you know, racing. There's a lot of stuff going on in designing the cars and how they did that. And I don't know how accurate it is, but it's sure a fun movie to see. If you haven't seen it, you might check out Ford versus Ferrari. It's coming up on 7:16 now. Steve and Ted here on KNSS.
Yeah, I caught a movie over the weekend.
What'd you get? What'd you do?
The Aviator.
Yeah.
The biography of Howard Hughes for about a 20-year period between the 30s and the 40s.
I think I've seen that. Who's
with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think I saw that, yeah. There's somebody's playing Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah, Cate Blanchett won an Oscar for her portrayal of Catherine Hepburn in that movie.
That's a couple years old. Yeah, I've seen that. All right. Okay, guys, it's coming up on 7:17 now. Steve and Ted here on KNSS checking out sports again this morning. Ted Woodward didn't have any scores, although you might have some golf for us this morning, right, Ted?
I do a little bit of action over the weekend. Yeah. Yep, golf action, the PGA Tour in Columbus, Ohio. And the winner, a young guy, 23-year-old Colin Morikawa, who shot a 6-under par 66 yesterday. His second win on the PGA Tour. He gets $1.1 million for that. Took three playoff holes before he ended up on top. He's a guy that played in the Wichita Open just 4 years ago. And now he is ranked 13th in the world.
Wow.
One spot ahead of a guy named Tiger Woods. How about that? Yeah, okay. So life is good right now for Colin Morikawa, winner on the PGA Tour this weekend. NASCAR racing yesterday at the Kentucky Speedway. For the first time in a few years, a rookie wins a NASCAR race. Cole Custer, the winner. Kansas native Clint Bowyer finishing in 14th place. He is now in 13th overall in the NASCAR standings. NASCAR just a week and a half away from making a stop at the Kansas Speedway. Pro football, a franchise is moving on the fast track for changing its nickname.
Sports Business Daily, the first to report that the Washington Redskins will make a formal announcement Monday that they will get rid of their nickname amid an uptick in criticism over its racially charged nature. This announcement comes just over a week after the Redskins confirmed the organization would conduct a thorough review of the moniker, accompanied with pressure from companies like Nike, Amazon, and FedEx to make that change. FedEx, who holds the naming rights to the Redskins stadium, went as far as to threaten to terminate that deal that runs through 2027. As for the new name, that will be revealed at a later date as the franchise works out trademark issues ahead of this upcoming season. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Will there be college football this fall? Good question. Here's Heather Dinich, ESPN college football writer.
I can't say yes with a straight face. Well, I can't. I mean, I don't see how you can safely play college football at this point for all of the reasons that you mentioned. We're talking about voluntary workouts. They haven't even lined up against each other. I mean, I talked to Navy coach Ken Niumatalolo last week about how do you practice football during a pandemic, logistically. And he told me that we might, through the whole thing, never do team drills. We might only do individual drills the whole time, which he said is like practicing, rehearsing for a play with everybody practicing by themselves, and then you go on stage. He said he's trying to get as creative as possible, thinking about putting football players in the practice stands with a whiteboard down to have their meetings, having every single meeting outside if it's not on Zoom, even though the guys are on campus. So logistically speaking, I think it's going to be extremely difficult unless you're totally rewriting how football is done to do this. But then even if you manage that, as you mentioned, they're college students.
So a lot of issues for college football.
You bet.
And there are plenty of obstacles for pro football, too. Here's Jeff Dickerson, ESPN host.
There are so many issues they have to iron out. It is July 12th. We have no schedule. We have nothing. We have no training camp schedule. We don't know. Typically, on a normal year, I've already had the training camp schedule, the practices, the times, everything. I would have had that now for over a month. And these teams are supposed to report end of July with nothing in place. Now, there will be the call tomorrow between the league and the management council, and they hopefully will have some more information to pass out later next week. But, I mean, every hurdle you can imagine, from financial hurdles to safety hurdles, to, how about this, Chris? These guys had no off-season programs to speak of. They're just going to hit the ground running day one? Think they're going to be in football shape? No, they're not going to be in football shape. How does training camp look? When do the pads come on? When do you start hitting? Are there any preseason games? Can 90 people be on an off-season training camp roster? Is that too many? How many people in the building at the same time? What about players that don't want to show up? What about the equipment? You know, what about this? People talking about they don't want to wear masks under their helmets or over their helmets or whatever. What about these visors? I mean, there is so much uncertainty that it just seems like pulling this all together, Chris, in a couple of weeks and having this happen, end of July for training camp. I mean, maybe it does, but with so much to work through and so many questions to answer, I don't feel that's very likely.
Kind of doubtful.
Pretty comprehensive look there. Good stuff about whether or not we will have football this fall. And that's sports with Steve and Ted.
Ted, I want to just jump in here real quick and talk about the arts and culture section of the Wichita Eagle this Sunday. Has a great big photo of a young lady from Derby. Evan, a 16-year-old from Derby, has produced Mojo, a modern pop and R&B album. Of course, this Evan is my granddaughter.
Yay!
Yeah, she's 16 years old. The headline, Derby Teen, has top 40 potential, says producer. And boy, it's an extensive article.
Well, that's great. Everybody over the age of 70, you'll get a look at
that's right. She's
in the newspaper.
Gets quoted quite extensively there. But anyway, there it is. Got a
nice
collector's item. Evan's doing great down there at Derby and with her musical career. 7:22 now. Steve and Ted, keep it here for Rush Limbaugh's morning update. Seattle is raising taxes on its biggest employer, Amazon. That's coming up, Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.